Hello, and welcome to the Badger Talks podcast, the podcast that shares interviews with experts from the University of Wisconsin-Madison community about their work, research, and a little bit about what they're like as people, too. I'm your host, Buzz Kemper. Today, we'll be talking about how to build a gratitude practice just in time for Thanksgiving. And I'm happy to have as my guest, Dr. Mick Miyamoto, former Interim Associate Dean of Students and Student Affairs Special Projects. Mick Miyamoto, thanks so much for coming in and doing this.
Yeah, it's absolutely a pleasure. And like I shared before, I'm really humbled and honored to be asked to do this, something I'm very interested in, passionate about. But I think there's a whole host of people on this campus, maybe even in the dozens or hundreds, who are more qualified than I, but I'm more than happy to be part of this. I love this topic.
Well, I'm glad to have you here, and we are just a little over a week away when this podcast is uploaded from Thanksgiving. So we're coming up on Thanksgiving, and I want to know about how you view Thanksgiving and how you set up a gratitude practice. And one of the things we were just talking about is something as simple as a routine of getting morning coffee.
So what
is your morning coffee routine?
Yeah, this actually started years ago. So I'm half Japanese, and I've always been kind of intrigued by the tea ceremony. And what does that mean? And how to bring people into the present? How do you be fully present? And I think that's a key to developing a gratitude practice or a well-being practice. And something I try to do every morning, before I turn on the news or before I read a paper, I'm not suggesting that people turn away from and become uninformed or less informed, but I'm saying don't start with that. So what I just have, we have a Keurig machine at home, and I go through all five senses and be fully present as I'm making that cup of coffee.
Yeah.
You can smell it. You can hear it.
Yeah.
You can see it, you can taste it, and then you can touch it. And something that's unique to me, perhaps, is that I'm a potter, and so I made the mug. So
yeah,
I can feel the mug, and I have it in my hand, and it's, you know, maybe 2 minutes, whatever time it takes. I've never timed it, whatever time it takes to make a cup of coffee and a Keurig, but that's a starting practice.
Okay.
And I'd like to go back, if I could, Buzz, before I get to the coffee machine.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure who to give attribution to. I'm not sure where I learned this, but it was a number of years ago as well. And I think this is a great suggestion, and I love this tip, and I share it with everybody I possibly can, is when you're first waking up, before, and you're in that liminal state between consciousness and sleep, think of something you get to do rather than something you've got to do that day before you put your feet on the ground.
And get
again,
to do as opposed to got to do.
You get to choose, right?
Yeah.
We get to choose. Think of things you get to do. This was one of them today for me, talking about this.
Terrific.
But rather than something I've got to do, which is clean my deck. So I'd rather think about first this interview with you as opposed to something that's just a chore.
Cleaning the deck. Good. Yeah. I'm glad chatting with me is higher on the list than cleaning the deck.
It is indeed. It is indeed.
Oh, that's terrific. So because we are coming up to Thanksgiving, and I was reading a little about your bio and your background, and setting up a gratitude practice was Maya's suggestion for this. And I was thinking that it was going to be a thing that you do, like a separate thing, like journaling or meditating or something like that. But the morning coffee routine tells me that we can incorporate gratitude practice into everyday things, mundane things.
Absolutely.
Is there a separate practice that you do specifically for gratitude, or is your gratitude practice pretty much that, just being grateful for what you have the opportunity to experience during the day?
Yeah, well, it,
or both.
It is. It is actually both. So that's kind of the start, what I described to you, sort of that waking up phase, then the coffee. But then, yes, these are all things that I learned through the Center of Healthy Minds, Richie Davidson, that whole staff there.
Yes.
I mean, are just, I mean, phenomenal people and scientists, and what they've contributed, I would say, to the world as well as the campus here is I could gush. They're just so fantastic what they've contributed. Yeah. Their Healthy Minds app, to me, when I was exposed to that maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago now, Cortland Dahl over there, Dr. Dahl, refers to me as a power user because I'm just such a strong advocate for that. And again, something I recommend to anyone and everyone. It's a free app. But there's so many things I've learned from them. Mm-hmm. But another person I have to give credit to is Abby Deal. She's Associate Director of Recreation and Wellbeing. And I had the privilege one of my last years of working, to be an interim director of Recreation and Wellbeing. And Abby introduced our staff to Dr. Shyla Mergain, also mm-hmm. here at UW-Madison, mm-hmm. to her 5-3-1 practice. And it's very simple, and it's something I use a lot. But it's basically 5 minutes of mindfulness meditation, mm-hmm. and I'll talk more about that in a second. Write down 3 things you're grateful for, which really to me is very easy to do. Mm. And then there's 1 random act of kindness. Well, people right away, wait, what's that all about? You know, it's not like we're asking you to donate a kidney to a stranger.
It's hard to do that every day.
It's opening doors for others. It's letting people merge on the Beltline. Mm-hmm. It's greeting someone with a smile and a warm hello or a good morning. Mm-hmm. I mean, just simple things you can do. Getting back to the 5-minute meditation, though, what Dr. Mergain suggests, and something I use, is this metta or loving kindness or compassion meditation. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes people think meditation is something that, well, I'm not good at this because I can't clear my mind. Really, no one clears their mind. You just go through a practice, mm-hmm. and like anything, if you practice, you get better at it. But simply what you're trying to do within that 5 minutes is, and it starts out with, may I be happy, mm-hmm. may I be healthy, may I be free of suffering. Then think of someone close to you,
yeah,
some loved one perhaps, the same phrase, may you be happy. May you be healthy. Mm-hmm. May you be free of suffering. Extend that then to maybe another person that you see on a daily basis, but you don't really know, maybe someone at the grocery. Mm-hmm. May think of that person, visualize them sitting in front of you. May you be happy. May you be healthy. Mm-hmm. May you be free of suffering. And then extend that circle to the whole world. May we all be happy. Mm-hmm. May we all be healthy. May we all be free of suffering. And mm-hmm. some people say, oh, come on, Mick. But I really think the beauty of that is it may not change things, but it changes us.
Right.
It changes our heart and right. as to how we then go out into the world.
Right.
But I think that's a key part of gratitude.
Yeah.
And then I come back to all the time something we learned many, many years ago, Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning, is there's a space, there's a gap between a stimulus and then our response.
Yeah.
And oftentimes we don't know that or remember that, and we simply react. Somebody mm-hmm. cuts us off on the Beltline, and we react in a certain way.
Yes.
Well, we don't know. That person could have a sick child. They could have a parent that's in dire need. They could be late for something, or they could just be a jerk.
But right.
Either way, we don't have to. They're not in our life. We don't have to let it go mm-hmm. and choose a different response. We get to choose that, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So, okay, simple but not easy, Mick.
Right.
But if you practice daily, and I did do this during the pandemic. I'm not sure where I got this. If it was from Abby or Dr. Mergain. I did a journal of write down 1 thing you're grateful for every day. Mm-hmm. And I did that through the pandemic just to help my own well-being.
Right.
And very, very effective, very powerful.
Terrific.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's great, and I know that we can change our attitude about other things
yeah.
and how they affect us. And you know, you use the driver, you know, cutting you off
yeah.
as an example. I was once asked, because I'm a recording engineer here at the studio. I was once asked by some students, how do you deal with it when you're doing a session that's just no fun at all? Maybe the music is really poorly performed, or maybe yeah. it's just not something you enjoy, or how do you keep your energy up? And I said, you know, that does happen occasionally where, you know, I'm really not enjoying the session itself,
mm-hmm.
but I can usually enjoy the musician's enjoyment. So in other words, they're happy because they're recording a song that, say it's a guy who wrote a song for his girlfriend. I might think it's kind of a, you know, kind of a silly song and it doesn't really do much for me. But he's so happy because he's going to record this and then he's going to give it to her. And, you know, and so, so there, there is always a place where one can find that joy.
That's right.
I think if you look for it.
So
let me ask you quickly about the Healthy Minds app. We, you talked on that, just touched on that really briefly. What is that? And is this something that's accessible to everybody?
It is. Okay. It's amazing. And I've looked at a number of different apps throughout my life and different practices. And I think I fell into the same pitfall that a lot of people do is when you start out with something, it's kind of like going on a diet and you fall off and you say, oh, I stink at this. I give up. I quit. Or exercise regimen or something. The beautiful thing I think about this app is that it's not just jumping into the what, the practice. There's a piece where it's the why. So before almost every practice, there's a short little lecturette, if you would, that explains the why. And to me, that is so powerful. And when you get into it, and I invite anyone to look at it, it's free because they've done a great job of getting financial support, which is unusual for these kinds of products. I challenge anyone to go through that a couple sessions and not say, wow, there's definitely some things in there to help me. It's just...
Is it healthyminds.com?
HealthyMinds.edu?
What is it?
The Healthy Minds program, I believe.
The Healthy Minds program.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you go onto the App Store and you can
Okay, so you go on the App Store. Okay,
and it, they're always uploading content. They're changing people that you can listen to as part of your meditation guide.
Okay.
You can go 5 minutes. You can go longer. You can do a seated or you can do an active one. So people say, I don't have time to take, I'm not getting on the cushion, Mick. I don't have time for that. You can do the active ones while you're exercising, while you're doing the dishes, while you're driving to work, wherever. So the excuse part of it, you know, I have enough arguments against that.
But okay.
I really challenge, I've used it with so many people. When a year I was working in recreation well-being, I was so excited because like 80%, maybe higher, 90% of the students at UW use the recreation facilities. And just about all of them have an earbud in. When they're on a machine of some type. And if they just spent a few minutes on this, I think it can make a world of difference. Richie Davidson always used the analogy, if we spend as much time on our mental hygiene as we did our oral hygiene, like brushing our teeth, it's remarkable. And there's plenty of powerful data from the center. I just saw a piece with Richie and Court Lindell having a conversation that just 5 minutes practice a day can change cortisol levels, blood pressure, the way we look at things, our resiliency. That's a big word. We always talk about people being resilient. Well, okay. Simple but not easy, right? You got to practice a little bit. But it's really, it's fun. It's a fun practice.
Well, I'm intrigued and I will take a look at this because I, for a long time, I've given myself the message that if I'm trying to meditate and I've got too much energy, then I get the monkey mind thing I can't stop thinking about other things. And if I'm too relaxed, then I'll just fall asleep. Take a nap, you know. And so I have to stop giving myself those messages and start telling myself that I can do this.
And this app will reinforce that. We'll show you how to do that. So again, we're all going to be distracted. When we sit down, we're all going to be distracted. The monkey mind, as you referred to. But if you use an anchor, say your breath, and one that I learned many years ago, which I still use daily, is I just sit down and then I concentrate or look at my focus to, there's a difference when you breathe through your nose, the temperature of the air. When you breathe in, it's likely cooler. When you exhale, it's warmer. And I go from that, and then you're distracted. You're thinking about, okay, this is going on in the world. This is what I've got to do today. This is something I get to do. Bring it back to that. Bring it back to the breath. And then I go from there after a few minutes of that to that space between your last exhalation and your next inhalation. There's a little gap. And I use that for a minute or two and keep bringing it back. Again, you're distracted. You know, I got to pick those tomatoes. I've got to do this. I've got to think about my grandchild's birthday coming up, but then bring it back to that. Mm. Bring it back to that. And the bringing back to it is like the repetition in the gym. The more you bring it back, your focus, the stronger you get and the easier it gets through practice. Not that you're not going to have setbacks. There's going to be some days where you're wildly distracted. But bring it back to the anchor, which is your breath or sound. And then I go into that loving kindness metta where may I be happy. Mm-hmm. May I be healthy.
Okay.
May I be free of suffering. And bring it through those cast of characters in your mind.
Yeah.
And you'll find you can bring your attention to that. Again, 5 minutes is all I'm looking at. And then I usually end with some box breathing. I inhale for four, hold for four, exhale for four, hold for four, and do that four times.
So that's the four sides of the box.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And that's kind of how I, and it's usually 5 minutes. I've never really timed it, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I feel like once you're in the right hemisphere and you're doing this, I don't really want to make any sort of measuring.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The non-temporal phase. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bringing
yeah.
that outside.
Thinking. Yeah.
So with Thanksgiving coming up, let's say that there are people listening to this who say, okay, I want to get into some gratitude practice. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to not only recognize the things about my life that I appreciate, but maybe be better to deal with those aspects of life that are stressful or frustrating.
Yeah.
And now we've already informed them that they don't have to sit on a mat for 3 hours to do this, that they can do it. What is your advice then for someone who has never tried this before? They want to ease it. It's Thanksgiving. This is a good time to start. It's like a New Year's resolution, but it's a Thanksgiving resolution.
Yeah.
What's a good way to ease into it and get over those frustrations of the monkey mind and other things?
Well, again, you know, I sound like a broken record here. And by the way, when you mention that to young students, they don't really understand that reference. But
right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I go back to the app. Again, it's a simple download. Just get into it and play with it a little bit yourself, because I think it's important that we work on the self-care. We work on that before we start to think of how we can impact others. But I think it's such a great tool. It's the best I've seen by far. Hmm. And I just think it makes so much sense to anyone who looks into it, really.
And it was developed by someone at UW. Was it a Richie Davidson thing?
Okay, yeah, Richie Davidson and his team.
Of course.
They're,
yeah, his name always comes up when we talk about these
things. Should be sitting where I'm sitting right now.
Well, I'm sure, you know, I'll have a chance to talk with him at some point, and I'd love to. But, I mean, everybody has a different perspective on it, and so I'm very grateful to have you here.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it. It's a wonderful tool. It's a wonderful practice. Mm-hmm. It's, to me, reinforces, you know, that I think the term is meliorism, is how do we, our acts of kindness towards others, especially strangers, that can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
It can. And, you know, okay, pie in the sky making all that, but it makes a difference in us, for sure.
Right.
And if we can make a difference in us, how we interact with people and how we carry ourselves in day-to-day, I think that's the beauty of it, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So adopting an attitude of gratitude, that sounds so cliche, but I think, again, it's a choice, right? We get to choose that, and not always easy, but really, what's the alternative?
Right.
Right? I mean, there's too much cynicism already, and you don't need to add to that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and I've wondered about this, how it relates to prayer, because I'm not a religious person, and I've always thought, well, if someone prays for me when I, like, if I'm sick or something, if one person says, I'll pray for you, and the other person says, can I pick something up at the grocery store for you? I feel like that second person is helping me in a much more practical way.
Yes.
But if someone is praying for me or saying, you know, I wish you health. Oh, how did you word it again? The three, I wish you health. I wish you.
May you be happy.
May you be happy. May you be healthy.
May you be free from suffering.
Got it. I feel like that's kind of a similar thing to praying. It probably helps you, and it's probably
exactly.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
I like you, similar kind of approach to that topic. And I certainly don't want to offend anybody who might be listening to this, but I really think if you talk to theologians, they would say also that prayer may not change things, but it changes us. It right. changes who's giving the prayer. And then, therefore, we can become effective or helpful in terms of bringing you something when you're not well,
okay.
right?
Yeah.
That's kind of my orientation toward it, right?
Yeah. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And I want to get into a little bit about your background, because you had been working with, I know you're retired now, mm-hmm. but you had been working with students who had committed some kind of academic misconduct.
Yeah.
And you have said that a big part of your success with working with these students was being present.
Right.
And I would love to know, we've heard that term a lot. People say, oh, you know, be present, be in the moment. What does that phrase mean to you, and especially given the work that you had been doing
yeah.
With these students?
Yeah. I did dean of students type work for 37 years, so I've kind of seen, you know, A to Z.
Yeah.
But a lot of it was, and especially my last 4 years here at UW-Madison, it was just really a privilege to work with something called Academic Integrity Matters. Mm-hmm. It's a restorative justice program. So I think and let me say this, it was perfect for here, because the vast majority, way over 99% of the students that I dealt with, they knew they had done something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And the person that was suffering the most was themselves, what they put on themselves. You can say, oh, come on, Mick, really? I'm just telling you, of all the students, hundreds I dealt with, especially during the pandemic when so much was online, mm-hmm. it was easier for students trying to cut a corner. They're stressed out, so they commit some sort of academic misconduct or dishonesty.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a perfect place for that, because the students are really serious students and genuine about what they're trying to do with their academic pursuits. So the restorative piece, people think, is to make amends to the academic community, to the professor, to the teaching assistant. Yes, that's all part of it. But to me, whoa, I found a lot of the heaviest was with the student themselves, beating themselves up over this infraction. So one thing I always try to do is, let's talk about this app again.
Yeah.
And the practice of being present. So I wanted to be present for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would often end those sessions with the students saying how proud I was of them for taking this step to really confront that what they did was wrong. We're going to mm-hmm. make right, but they need to make right with themselves too. And how do they avoid getting into this pitfall again in the future?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think that's the greatest gift you can give anyone mm-hmm. is to be present for them.
Okay.
Right?
And that means, I know that means listening. Is it beyond that?
Oh, what a great question. That's a great question. I think it's active listening.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say, I'm listening to you, but you're looking at your phone. You know, that multitasking thing, I think that's baloney. I really do. People say, I'm multitasking.
I 100% agree. Whenever I multitask, I do I do poorly at all
multiple
of them.
Things.
And if I concentrate on one thing, then I...
That's right.
I totally agree.
Yeah. So I think that is just, you know, really just... a fallacy. People think, I'm listening to you, but I'm also watching the game or I'm looking at something on my phone. Mm-hmm. Nah, you're not really present. You're not really present. So it's eye contact, it's body posture. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting during a lot of this too, because we were doing it via Zoom or Teams, whatever the electronic mean was, because of, during the pandemic.
Right.
But it was it was a privilege to be there for students when they're hurting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to really be there fully for them and not mm-hmm. think, okay, this is what I got to do next. Let's get through this.
Right.
It would oftentimes, my sessions would go longer than they were supposed to just because of that.
Yeah.
And I often said throughout my education careers, you can't really teach the head unless you touch the heart, can you?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So,
yes.
So really get to know them. You know, not just talking, jumping right into, okay, this is what happened in economics or this is what happened in Portuguese class or whatever. What's going on? Tell me about you, as much as they're comfortable with, right? It's not counseling, but
That makes so much sense. And to be present is so much, then you yourself get a lot more out of the interaction, then so does the other person. I remember hearing an interview with someone years ago about, and he was talking about health, physical health and longevity and things like that. And he said one of the things that correlates to a person being healthier and living longer and generally being happier is how do other people view you? And they said, if you're the type of person who walks into a room and everyone, oh, there's Mick, it's so great to see Mick, then that speaks well of where you're at in terms of your physical and mental well-being. And so you are likely to be more healthy and live longer, as opposed to the person who walks in the room and they, oh, here's so-and-so, geez, you know, he's such a drag, you know, whatever. Those things matter, and I'm relating that to what you're saying.
The social connection, right?
Yeah,
that was, I think, one of the biggest mistakes during the pandemic is we called it social distancing. Right. Should have been physical distancing.
Right.
And then still try to find ways to connect with people, the greater community, and so forth, because so important to someone's overall well-being. You're exactly right,
Bob. Is there anything about feeling gratitude, expressing gratitude, any kind of gratitude practice, or anything about your work and what you've learned in general that you would like to share with this audience, but I just haven't asked the right question to get to?
Yeah, thank you for that. I would say look into the app, really. Again, I feel they kid me so many times because they think, well, you must be on the payroll over there in West Washington. I am not, I assure you. And I don't own any stock or anything, but it's just such a powerful tool, and it's
terrific.
Easily accessible. It doesn't cost you anything, and just play with it a little bit and get into it. And if you don't have a game plan, if you don't have a practice, well-established practices, it's hard just to jump into something, right?
Yeah.
Whether you're going to play tennis or you're going to cook something. I mean, you've got to have some guidance, right? If it's something new, and it's a new skill.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's not arduous at all. It's kind of like what I heard the other day is when you ask someone who's a climate change denier, don't say, do you believe in it? Do you say, do you understand it?
Right.
Because it's science. It's not Santa Claus.
Yes, exactly. Right? Yeah, exactly. And it's not unicorns.
And what Richie et al. Are doing is science.
Yeah.
It's science. It's not like, well, I believe in that or I don't believe in that.
Yeah.
They can point you to all kinds of, plethora of data that shows this can be helpful.
Yeah. Terrific.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to check it out for sure. I mean, it sounds like something that would be valuable to me because I didn't do very well trying to do these things just on my own. I have, through a yoga studio to, I have done some guided meditation there, and that works much better because I'm in a space where this is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. I'm with other people who are doing that same thing. We've got someone who's guiding us. I'm much less likely to think about the fact that, geez, you know, I'm almost out of oat milk. I better go buy some, you know, right? stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's absolutely terrific. And the last thing I would like to ask you, Mick, is what, I know a little bit about this having read your bio, but now that you're retired and you do your gratitude practices, of course, but what else do you like to do? Do you have hobbies, sports? What do you get joy from?
Yeah, great question. A lot of our time now is my wife and I, we have a blended family. We have 3 kids and 4 grandkids, and they're 13, 11, 3, and 2. So that's a lot of time, and it's just, but it's, grandparenthood is fabulous. I mean, it's way better than parenthood. It's just so much fun, and we're highly invested in those 4 kids' lives and their activities and spending time with them, providing care and so forth. So that's a blast.
Yeah.
Working out, I've always loved to work out. I coached football for about 30 years, and so I'm just connected with that. And that to me is it's not only physical, but it's also emotional, and it's just a place to really to center. And then I mentioned my undergrad was in art education. And I taught middle school art for 5 years before I got into higher education administration. But I rediscovered my passion for pottery. So I belong to the Midwest Clay Project here in Madison.
That's great.
People always ask, don't you want your own wheel or your own kiln? And I go, no, I don't, because there's such a community there.
Yes.
There's artists there, and many of them are retired like myself. And I've learned so much there. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I'll go there several times a week, and It's a beautiful experience. So my wife and I like to travel, although our travel budget this year was curtailed because we bought a new air conditioner and furnace. So
okay.
But
that's a priority.
And something else I just thought of that I think will really resonate for you is there's this phrase called Shinden Yoku.
Okay.
And it's forest bathing. It translates to forest bathing. And you talked about your hiking and your rock climbing.
Yes.
There's a woman here in Madison named Kate Bast, who's a certified Shinden Yoku guide.
Yeah, I've heard that name. Yeah. I might have even met her, but yeah.
And I learned that through her.
Okay.
And it's fantastic in terms of just being into nature.
Yeah.
She revealed a statistic saying 93% of the time we spend indoors, and there's things that we need from outdoors.
Yes.
Phytosides, things come off trees and plants and stuff.
Yes.
So again, it's like when you're out there, you're breathing in this appreciation and exhaling gratitude, mm-hmm. right? Because it's all this connected.
Yes.
It's a beautiful experience. So if you ever get a chance to do some forest bathing, highly recommend that.
I do. I did some yesterday. My dear friend Sarah and I did about 5.5 miles yesterday, and it was fields and forests, and you know, we covered a lot of ground, and it was it took me a while to convince myself to go because, you know, it was a little bit cool. It was a little bit cloudy. It was you know, it's like there are all these excuses.
Yeah.
But I asked myself when I was out there, how many times have I ever done the hike and then later said, I wish I hadn't done that? And the answer is zero. Right.
Yeah.
Never happens.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Never happens.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. Thank you so much, Mick. This has been really informative, and I feel better just talking about it. It's a wonderful topic, and we all have stresses in our lives, from everything from paying the bills to political situations to family dynamics, whatever it might be. And but we all have things to be grateful for and to feel good about.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think we just need to get in touch with that.
Yeah.
And be present with others, be present with ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've learned a lot from this. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. What a pleasure. And you summed it up perfectly.
Thanks. You've been listening to the Badger Talks podcast. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Dr. Mick Miyamoto. Please browse our previous episodes for other topics that may be of interest to you. The Badger Talks podcast is a creation of UW Connects and produced at Audio for the Arts Recording Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our engineer is Maggie Shays. Our music is composed by Bill Purdy and performed by the UW Marching Band. I'm Buzz Kemper. Thank you for listening.